Hello and welcome to a post-race episode of the Short Shoot Show. We are sitting in a hotel room not too far from the Super League Triathlon course in Toulouse, where there's just been absolute carnage, which is why we're just trying to have a drink and calm down after what has been a pretty intense day, lots of high emotion, and to calm it all down, as always, Chris McCormack is here. Well, I say as always, but you've skipped a few lately, yeah.
You're stuck for guests.
I am, yeah. We had to scrape the bottom of the barrel, and that's why the Warriors manager, Nick Chase, is here as well. Nick, welcome as a debutant onto the Short Shoot Show. How are you feeling? Before we get into all the segments and everything, how are you feeling personally after that round?
That was the most stressed I think I've been. I think I was like a zombie after that race. It was mental, and plus I had to carry all the shit back by foot to the hotel.
So good, it was
a lot of work.
I had to carry Max Stapley's bike because it was in two pieces.
It was in three pieces.
It was in two pieces when I started the walk, and it slowly fell apart across the course of the kilometer or so. Mac, you've just come out of a team managers meeting where mm-hmm. you debrief everything that happens in the race, and there was plenty. It went for an hour. I mean, your attention span doesn't normally stand up to that kind of punishment.
I only remember the first 10 minutes of it, Will, but no, there was a managers meeting about, you know, what went down in today's racing. Anyone who watches it will see the men's race in particular. There's a lot of discussion around penalties and what should have happened and what didn't happen. And so it was a pretty productive meeting, I think, Nick. It was a good one.
Moving forward, overall, the organization always athlete forward, rules, everything that we need to adapt to make this series more beneficial for everyone.
That's what we're about. We don't want to get in the way of the racing. That's fundamentally, you know, with a common theme of what we want to do at Super League is to not interfere with the racing and make sure we get the most dynamic racing we can. And sometimes with so much going on and how quick this is, officials miss things and calls are made. And, you know, I think as now it's team racing, there's a lot of passion behind other athletes that are, I guess, vested more in the overall performance of the winners because points are scored. So there's a lot of push from behind the scenes for outcomes. So, you know, the score.
But that's what the passion you need.
Well, that's what teams racing is all about. It's not about the individual anymore. When it's about the individual, maybe the person second or third on the podium has a whinge and the other person in the back's like, oh, well. Mm. But now it's points on the line, a lot of money on the line for teams. So, you know, we put in a protest for the Scorpions and the men's race. And that was what that meeting was all about. And we're happy with the outcome. Nothing was changed. But we're happy that we put that protest in to, you know, to represent our team and show that we care about what happened. But I think after talking to the officials and all the other team managers, we're happy with what we're going to do and the way forward and the results standing the way they are, because Leo Bergier, without question, was the winner of the race.
Well, that leads into the headlines, and I'll just start with my one because my one is sacre bleu. A, because I wanted to say that, and B, because Bergier and what happened, and I spoke to Leo Bergier as he came in to the hotel, and he was just like, I'm getting all these people saying, like, mean things about me, like I should have been penalised, and I'm the first one to say that I should have been penalised. Like, I rode over the dismount line, like I should have, and you know, there's obviously a lot going on, and I guess that officiating, you don't agree?
I agree that he deserved the win.
Definitely.
Yeah, but I just think the proceedings and how it went down, obviously, that's what the...
That's what the meeting was about.
We want to make a difference for these athletes. How terrible is it when you win a race, when you have to walk away feeling like, did I really earn it? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we want to prevent in the future. And we want Leo to have a blast and feel fucking awesome.
Look, I think what we all missed was what would have been, or could have been, the most amazing shoot-off between the two form athletes on the day, without question. Hayden Wild and Leo Bergier had just done amazing two stages of racing prior to that and set themselves up. They distanced themselves from Johnny Brownlee, and just that transitional error, miscounting laps coming in, Hayden opting to continue to go and Leo riding through transition without getting off at the dismount line. That's the discussion. But Hayden being served a penalty and Leo not getting that penalty. And it was just missed. Everything's happening so quick. And as Nick said, it was, you know, we just wanted to be fair and equitable for everyone. And as a team owner and with the team manager, I guess, in MG, you know, we had to make a protest. You know, otherwise it says to my athletes, we don't care. And, yeah, there are rules in place and technically he should have been served a penalty. And the fact that he didn't stop, had he been served that penalty, would have resulted in disqualification. But he wasn't served a penalty. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, you can't go back retrofit a result. You know, that opens a big can of worms if you do. And the fact that the referee missed that, it's beneficial to Leo, and I agree with the call in the end. I don't agree that he shouldn't have had a penalty, But I agree with the outcome that we decided that the results should stand.
Well, it's 100% not his fault. He did exactly what he was told to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he even said, I considered whilst I was going around, should I just stop for 5 seconds at the penalty box anyway because I don't want to have these headlines?
Yeah, yeah.
But he did exactly what he was told to do. And I think we've gotten to a point with Super League Triathlon, and it is so fast, and the triple mix is the fastest and most complex of all the formats, and it's also fantastic, that the traditional triathlon officiating maybe isn't enough for what the pace of Super League Triathlon has developed to.
It's not.
It's absolutely not. I mean, things are happening even as a manager that I can't keep up on because sometimes it's at the opposite end of the course or one of my athletes goes down and I have to hear about it through Tim telling me, come over here, one of your 15-year-old athletes is off the bike. So I think that the pace of this race makes it the most exciting event that I've ever been a part of, and that's why I want to continue to invest everything we can to make sure the U.S. athletes are becoming more dominant over the next years. But absolutely, it's mind-blowing how quickly the head official would have to make that call. Like, looking back at that coming into transition, like, what would he have been able to do? He's one man. Like, we need to empower him to have some more skills and maybe some more team members or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's find some technological advancements or some more team members. Or, I mean, obviously, these are the discussions that will be ongoing, but Leo Berger did nothing.
And he had an amazing performance. And Leo, well done. Congratulations. Yeah,
he absolutely did. And you know what? Hayden did as well. So had an amazing performance.
It was a great race.
Yeah, and to be said, Hayden was rightly pissed after that when he finished. But after a quick cool down, I went up to him. He bounced off me as he came out of the swim because I was just standing there. And I apologize for that, but he's one of the coolest kids around. Super kind, very nice. We had a good laugh. So these athletes are professional. They carry themselves well, and all the respect to Leo and Hayden for carrying it. And for Johnny, because he's obviously going to have some thoughts on this as well.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can swallow what's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, these are the things that happen in racing. But it's funny how the heat goes right up, and then really quickly it comes back down. By the time everyone gets back to the team hotel, everyone's like, yeah, I know, it's probably my fault.
Well, that's the good dynamic about Super League, is everyone is at the same team hotel. Usually at other events, they're at different hotels and they can whinge and bitch about it, but you sort of have to sit across the dinner table with the guy you're having a sook about, so they quickly make up. And I guess you get to vet your concerns and talk it out a lot better than any other event.
That's very true. Now, headlines. Nicholas, you want to go first? What's your headline?
The Warriors are all about the individual points. And
that's a long headline. I wouldn't fit on the back page of the paper.
It would.
Selfish too. Warriors would be better.
Ah, okay. Selfish Warriors stealing the points. Yeah. Hopefully that works.
So about the individual, swim, bucket, run points, you mean?
Yeah, or, I mean,
overall points.
For the individual points for each discipline.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not for the overall. Clearly we haven't been on the podium until Taylor was on the podium, Taylor Spivey, last week in London. But we've strategized this team to make sure that we can show up and try to take as many points as where we can. And we know that U.S. triathlon and the developments of athletes over time has kind of been a little bit behind some of the European athletes. Obviously, we've been proven to be a little bit behind in the WTS rankings and in the performances outside of the women's, obviously. But with our men, we want to develop that. And that's why we brought, sub 4-minute miler. We've got some of the best swimmers. And the Warriors are absolutely here to. Now I'm trying to teach them how to bike. Yeah. I'm going to invite them over. We're going to do some good laps.
But just on that, like exposing these guys to this high level of racing, even over week to week, have you seen an increase in their confidence, in their one percenters? Like, how have you seen that? Especially the younger guys who just come into this a lot fresher.
We have two 18-year-olds.
Yeah,
two young kids just fresh out. They're on this Project Podium Path, full ride scholarship, education first, and they're living like professional athletes already. Now, we've brought them into this. I mean, they're racing against their heroes. They're swimming next to Christian, next to Johnny. Look at the Olympic medals between the two. I mean, they're starstruck, and they're getting to race the same course and go toe-to-toe. And I think that in development for the next couple of years, we are going to have our own Hayden Wilds, maybe our own Christian Blumenfeldt's. In the women's field, we've always had Taylor. She's committed to this for the last 5 years. She's amazing. But I think the collection of athletes working together is the biggest thing U.S. triathlon needs more of. And we've never seen athletes get together after a race, have a laugh, and spend time together. I mean, we had a meeting and then went back out, and all the athletes are still just hanging out together. Like, that. How amazing is that, the culture that Super League's bringing together? So that's really where I think we're making a big difference. And the next couple of years, we know this year we might have some ups and downs. Malibu is going to be our race where I think we're going to have the most firepower. But you're going to see this team stick around and really evolve overall USA Triathlon over the years to come, because that's what Super League has proven to do.
All right, excellent. Mac, have you got a headline?
Crash test dummies,
okay,
for my team Scorpions, I think. I think most of our team spent a lot of time on the ground today. We had a big crash with Alicio Beto and Nicole Vanderkay in the women's race, which was unfortunate. Just a lack of communication between the two under fatigue. And actually, I'm going to go out and say there was a post that was put up by Super League from the content team, and our reading some of the comments was, you know,
horrible.
It was disgraceful, you know. It does have an effect. I spoke to Alicia after it. She's in disarray. Like, I mean, totally distraught reading a lot of it. And it's hard to see what happened, but it's not what happened. What the assumption of a lot of people is that she shut out her own teammate. That's not what happened.
The clip didn't do it any justice.
Didn't do it any justice. They were actually swapping turns. And Nicole, if you speak to Nicole Vanderkay, the athlete that did come down, she admits it was her mistake. She came up on the inside, and Alicia at the last minute saw she was there, clipped her, and she got shut out with the gutter, and down she came. So, you know, her coming down in the men's race, everyone in our team, except for Henry Schoeman and Hayden Wild, dropped the bike. So, you know, Sanchez went down, Taylor Reed had a flat and skipped out, lost his tire.
He had two flats.
Two flats.
Isn't that insane?
That's on this course, that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two flats on this course.
Yeah.
In half an hour. Last week in London too. So yeah. We're going to have a look.
Taylor Reid had a flat.
No.
Sagiv had a flat.
Sagiv had a flat.
Savage.
Right. Yeah. And he crashed here today. You know, makes So for us, it was a day of crashes. But
how's MG's blood pressure? I'm worried about him. He's getting on in years.
I'm worried he might drop. He was, handling that pressure with everything going on. He struggled a little bit with it. He's calmed down a bit now, you know, but I think overall the team did remarkably well. So, you know, they're all in, nothing was broken. They'll all be back for Malibu, right? So there's a, you know, I just wanted to say that about Alice, because she was really, really distraught speaking to her a couple of hours ago, reading a lot of those comments that people...
They write this stuff. They don't expect the athlete to read it. They just want to have this like...
She's in
really bad way. They just puke it out.
Yeah. It does have an effect. And you're looking at a momentary split of what actually happened, and then you're drawing conclusions on it, and they're incorrect. And she's an amazing teammate. You know, Nicole, to her own admission, it was her fault, and has no malice against Alice at all. And, you know, to read it, you think, wow, you know, the people are talking about banning her. It's ridiculous. So,
yeah. And that clip that was put up, that is the entire clip. There was no, like, cutting off the bit before, because bit before, obviously, there's got to have been some coming together or a bit of touching or whatever it was that made the wobbling happen.
Well, that
there wasn't. That was all the footage that we had.
Yeah, they were working together as teammates.
Yeah.
To try and close the gap, and it was just they're under immense fatigue. It's incredibly fast, and it was an error. This shit happens. It happens in the Tour de France with the world's best. So, you know, it was quite cruel. So
yeah, it was like a political reel where they just only show you saying the worst thing you've said all day.
Yeah.
It's what we're going to do to you in this podcast anyway. So watch out.
Yeah.
But for the elite athletes, I know you're looking at me like, I'm still elite.
Yeah, I still am a professional athlete.
I know you are. I've raced against you. You kicked my ass. We didn't race against each other. We're in the same race.
I started, you finished.
You went out of shower by the time I finished. But people are very quick to pass judgment, and it's garnered a lot of attention. But these are real human people who are, and the least amount of venom came from Nicole Vanderkay, who was like lovely about it and is lovely and doesn't, you know.
She was shocked by the comments. She's like, I can't believe it. It's just bizarre, but yeah.
There's plenty more.
Headline.
Yeah, that's right. All right, time for stock rising, stock falling. It is the stock market. We're going to start with, we'll start with you, Nick. Stock rising. So we got to pick, and you're new to this, like a stock market, whose stock has risen. Could be a person, could be a team, could be a rule, could be anything.
Henry Schoeman.
Ah, good. I was nice. About to say the same thing.
I really like him. I got to hang out with him a little bit. He was in Toulouse this whole week while I was here. He's just a genuinely great fella. Mm. Love him. His wife and kid are here. So watching him come up on the podium, really fight this week, and even having seen some of his footage from last year's racing and like some of the class races being very emotional, you know, I really appreciate what he gives.
Yeah, that's a very good call. Yeah. And Maki, you would agree. I mean, he's on your Bahrain Victorious team, and he's on the wider team as well. And he hasn't had maybe the results of some of the other Bahrain Victorious 13, but there's got to be a reason that you keep him on the team.
Because he's exactly that. He's a great team member. He's a great guy, without question, and he's great across the three disciplines. He's just been injured for a couple of years, and it's hard to come back. But I agree. You know, his performance in London in the enduro format, he's just off it, I think, in fifth or sixth. And today he fought to the edge and was on the podium. He'll draw a lot from that. So I agree. It's a great call.
He always races better when Franzel, his wife, and his daughter are around.
He races scared.
Yeah. She's got the eye every time I saw him.
Henry, go.
Yeah. There's a clip on Super League Triathlon Instagram if you want to see what her support looks like. I'd hate to see where she's upset.
I'd hate to come home to a bad race.
Good man, good dad, and he deserves to be back on the podium. There's 100% for that. But I think he maybe struggled under the weight of expectation of being the leading man in your team last week.
Yeah.
But now he had Hayden to kind of take the headlines, and he just went about his business.
Yeah, without question. And, you know, Hayden comes in and brings a lot of positive energy, and I think Henry's a momentum athlete, and he feeds off that type of energy. With Franzel around, and like you said, Hayden coming in and happy to take the spotlight, happy to take that GC leadership in our team meetings. Hayden speaks out a lot. Henry tends to sit back. I think he feels more comfortable in that position. He's able to work off other athletes. In the past, he had Vince and Louis to do that with, and this time with Hayden, I think he was a real benefactor of him coming back into the team's racing.
Okay, headline, stock rising for you.
I was going to say Henry Schoeman.
So you're stuck now. Do you want me to go? Do you want to have time to listen?
No, I'm going to go out there and say, I'm going to say Johnny Brownlee. You know, I think, it's just great to see him back racing at the front, and the way he races is always inspiring to me. And, you know, every time I speak to Johnny in the last 2 years, he's like, oh, I'm getting old. I'm like, wait, but he doesn't race that way. And I think, you know, he just dictates terms. You know, he closes gaps. He fixes his mistakes. You know, a lot of athletes, when gaps open, they stop fighting. You know, he's not one of those athletes. And it was just wonderful to see him in the mix and constantly pushing the pace and racing for the win. So I think we're going to see a solid Johnny Brownlee in this series, and I think he can win it.
Well, he's six points ahead now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of whether everyone comes back in Malibu. Alex Yee comes back, and it's only your two best results and Neom. So if Alex wins again, then he's going to be 2 points ahead going in, because Johnny's had 2 seconds.
Yeah,
and Johnny's had enough seconds to fill a bucket. He just has not won. You know, he just deserves that win. Yeah. You know, or even a race win. You know, it's just always second. He's chasing one Frenchman in Vincent Lewis, and he's chasing another. He's chasing Alex Yee. He's always chasing someone. So let's hope he gets his just deserves. He's been pipped on the line a couple of times too for race wins. My one is Seth Ryder, which you would like, because
no girls.
Absolutely, Seth.
I've actually got three. I put three down. Yeah, but Seth Ryder's my main one because he was a real protagonist today. Yeah. And I spoke to him before the race, and he's like, I just had a shit swim in London and I never got back. But my splits on the bike and the run when I was in, before I got cut or whatever, were there. Like, they were there. And he's a green jersey winner from 2021. Yeah. Like, he was a bike specialist. So to see him, obviously he had a – you drop a chain? No, he had an accident.
He had two crashes today.
Two crashes?
He actually might have a bit of a wrist issue.
Really?
Unfortunately, but even – what he did at London to pull him and Chase back into the mix was amazing. And I knew he's probably our only firepower on the bike. So he's an incredible cyclist. Yeah. He took too many risks today.
Yeah.
And he ate it, didn't he?
Yeah, he paid for it.
Yeah, he ate it at one point there near where Taylor Reid crashed as well, just on the top once they come out of the rise. But I thought he was strong, and he was right in the mix until quite late in the race. So I thought that was really good.
That's why we gave him the short shoot. I thought this guy's going to be up there.
Yep. And I want to also call out Dan Dixon, who I thought was really strong again today and just loves it. And this time last year, he's just showing his maturity to go from – he went off the front last year, Dixon, and blew his tires off, you know. But he just held himself back, and he ended up in a top five. I think that's great. And I talked about Fanny last week after she got 1 point. She got 7 points this time. She finished in the top 10.
Yeah.
I mean, that is strong.
She in 2 grand.
Two and a half grand.
It's not right for a 15-year-old.
Can you imagine the damage you would have done with $2,500 at 15?
She can get like five outfits from Lululemon.
Five outfits from Lululemon. And my stock falling, and unfortunately, I don't want to put the boot in, but my stock falling is Taylor Spivey through no fault of her own. She's got an ankle injury, and she should have won that race today. She should have been there and won that race. And I think that if she'd have won that race, she might have gone on and won this series. But now she's right up against it, and she needs a massive result in Malibu. She's battling this. She needs to get to Ponte Vedra and race well there, and suddenly she's got all this pressure on herself. So I think that could have been this could have been the race that made her believe that she's a series winner.
Yep.
But it's unfortunate for her through no fault of her own that she can't run. And fair play to her too for driving down here from Girona 3 hours to, and you would know, to go out there and try and pick up bike points and swim points, especially the bike points. She missed out on the bike points. She picked up her second fastest swim. But other athletes might not have made that trip if they knew they weren't going to be able to contend in a race.
Well, and also the engagement yesterday with the crowd and the big, you know, the big celebration we had in the town square. She came for that, to be part of it. She's a team player. She came out to do everything she could. She was taking the elevator everywhere, hesitant to walk anywhere. I can't blame her. She's got a big race in Ponte Vedra to try to get that Olympic spot. And that in itself has been tough for every single Super League athlete, is they're chasing those points, and the federation's got them by the knuckles. And how do we expect these athletes to give us everything when they've got this huge dream since they've a child? So I don't blame her. We support Taylor Spivey. And I don't think I think Malibu, she's from Malibu.
She'll kill it.
She'll kill it. And then she'll come back and kneel. I really don't think I'm going to count her out just yet.
Me neither. Me neither.
So, yeah, I do think you're right, though. This would have been her race to win.
Yeah, I think so, too, just given the field that's here. She was definitely the favorite. So that's unfortunate for her, but she almost won in Malibu last time. So she can definitely go ahead and do that again. She can definitely do that again. But all right, in the breakdown now, we talk about a couple of things we haven't talked about. I suppose, what haven't we talked about yet?
Well, do I get stock falling too?
Oh, sorry, stock falling, sorry.
Oh, mine's pretty easy. It's French swim etiquette. I think that's just getting... it was tough.
Don't forget, we're still in France. You're not out yet.
I mean, lovely.
Visa denied.
Yeah, lovely overall. But man, sometimes, you know, you see some competitive swimmers in a 50-meter pool, and then this like turns into the breaststroke lane of, 30 to 40 people coming on in there.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on.
Is this your swim training? I thought you were going to talk about an athlete.
Me too. Oh, but you're talking about... Personally,
I just want to talk about what we've experienced going to all the public.
Okay, so I have not been to one swim session. So tell me, what is the problem?
This is normal.
Ah, yeah. I mean, you show up to public swim, and sometimes we had a couple lanes, sometimes no. But if you're just all of a sudden ripping some 50s or 100s, you'll just have to run into somebody's ass because they're doing breaststroke for about 3 hours straight.
This is wrong.
There's no like fast lane, medium lane, slow lane action?
No.
The lanes are everything. No.
Yeah, just get in the lane and swim. You do you.
Is that how it works?
That's
and
how
no one
been.
Gets like, you know, like feels threatened and says, I should probably move over for this guy?
It's my fault for being quick in that lane. I should be breaststroke. How dare I?
That would happen to me too.
So anyways, that's my stock falling. I've not been impressed.
I'm going to be controversial with my stock falling, and I love the guy more than you can ever imagine. He's an amazing talent. But Matty Hauser, I was expecting a lot more out. He's just come off COVID, so it's being rough. But I had him to win this race today. I really did. And he struggled from the onset. He got a good swim start. I thought he put himself in a good position, but he just went backwards. He's definitely struggling. And sorry, Matty, I know you're being crook. So if you listen to this, but I had to pick someone. But it's just an underperformance by you today. So.
Sometimes when you get COVID, have you come off the back of it? And you're just that 10%, like when you have to, like for me, it took me like 6 weeks before I could go for a run, without feeling like I was having cigars on the way.
I had COVID and then went running the next day.
I
was a boy.
It's different for everyone.
Totally.
You know, but like.
No, without question.
He probably hadn't tested himself to that level.
He just wasn't at where he should be. And he knows that. He spoke to us, he said to me after the race, sorry, I didn't meet your podium predictions. I said, mate, you've had COVID, but. And that's why I'm being quite cruel and being a stock falling. It sounds so negative because he has come off COVID. But I was just expecting a lot more from him. So that's bashed him around much more than I thought it would.
Don't worry, my stock falling was someone who was injured.
That was a cheap
shot. Wait till I tell you. Exactly.
It was a
stock
falling.
Make sure your lawyer said, I think he was cruel.
But, Matty, he put up something on Instagram like not an hour or two ago. He's got a lot of emotions going on. And it's around Super League. When you think about what happened to him last year, he got that penalty in London. He crashed in Malibu.
Yes.
He got brought down by a crash from Tyler Mislichuk here in Toulouse. He probably should have won the whole series.
Yeah, he won Neon. You know,
there's some monkey on his back when it comes to Super League racing.
I think he came in. I think he thought he would win the series this year, and that's why. And he was definitely in the form all year to do it. You know, he's. It's just that's why I feel cruel to say it because I still believe he'll win one of the races. He's got all the talent, and this style of racing is all set up for him. And if I had to go against the grain, and I hate to give Tim Don anything, right?
That,
if anyone could win in Malibu and it wasn't one of my teammates, I'd be very, very happy if it was Matty Hauser.
Oh, I completely agree with you, especially considering he was so far in the lead in Malibu last year before he crashed in the same spot that Georgia Taylor Brown crashed.
Yeah.
And then he got eliminated. Georgia managed to run himself up to second, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. And he was surprised by the elimination. He didn't realize that he was on the bubble there. And it's just, I think he just has bad luck on bad luck, man.
Yeah. I actually thought he was coming back today because it was Seth and another athlete just crushing the bike. And then all of a sudden, Matty Hauser was off the back and then he was ahead of him. Just Seth went down. Unfortunate, but yeah, I agree. Love the guy.
His second swims, he's usually really, really good in those fatigue swims. They just weren't there today. He put himself back in the action, but you know, if you remember last year in London when he got that false penalty in the first race.
He came back to second, didn't he,
In that second swim, he just...
Yeah, he was pissed,
was like a man possessed. And I was expecting to see that this week, you know. And, so I'm, again, Matty, cruel, but
that's got
to be.
That's what we designed Super League for, is that if you are 99%, you are gone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you have to be
on the
bubble. And that goes for everything. It goes from... If for a TV broadcast, for me, if the TV broadcast is not on point, we're missing stuff. Everyone who comes into TV goes, no, I've done triathlon before. I'm like, no, it's too fast, man.
Yeah.
Like, you will not understand.
Wait,
right?
So Tomo's got to go.
Hey, Tomo?
Tomo.
Oh, yeah, Tomo.
Yo's got to go.
Tomo's got to go. But, like, officiating, like, it's transcended. Like, we've realized time and time again, we've got to find new ways to keep up with the pace that we're creating for ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is, and the jeopardy we're creating because. That remember when we were like, well, let's make short shoots and let's make swim points and buy points and run points and
we're also
we're creating jeopardy from the first stage to the last. It's not just like an Olympic distance triathlon where people are going around and you know and talking about
it's
the weather.
It's not predictable at all.
Yeah, but that requires then for every part of Super League to step up because it is so fast. So you've got to officiate well, you've got to broadcast it well, you've got to commentate well. All the athletes have got to get every single thing right. And it doesn't always go right, but you've got to stay on that 100% bubble. Yeah. Otherwise, the whole purpose of what Super League is gone. So we're getting to the end of the show. We're getting to the end of the beers. Is there anything else we want? Anything else we want to cover? Is there anything else anyone wants to get off their chest? Normally, do a 60-second soapbox where you can just rant for 60 seconds about something. Is there anything you want to rant about for 60 seconds, just to take the floor and just get upset about?
I don't have one at the moment.
You
maybe
don't?
Someone else does. Macca probably has a big one. I have a big one.
Oh, okay, all right. And that
your
all
time
right,
starts. All right. Get the clock out.
All right.
I mean, because this is an American
one, so this could go for 40 minutes.
This is going to be might be controversial. Might not be. I don't know.
It better be.
Hit it. Let's go.
So both the races and even some of the races last year, that camera shot is awesome on the bike. You got to have it front on. They're coming right at you. But that moto toe is real. And it puts that 90-second kickoff a little bit harder for those guys at the back who are struggling. So we got to figure out a way as a organization to static camera, drone something. I know it's going to cost more money, I've been told. But we got to figure that out. That's my soapbox. I'm pissed about the moto toes. I always have been as a professional athlete myself.
I agree.
34 seconds.
Well, can that's I take the next 30?
Yeah, go.
I agree.
it was bad today.
No, I'm going to say, let me have my 30 seconds on top of that. I'm going to talk about the pontoon starts, how much of a disadvantage that is in the pontoon draw. And I think that's something we need to address as team managers because, you know, with swim points on the line, a poor draw in that pontoon start puts your whole team out of action, not just your best swimmers. So this whole team starting together. When you get a shit pontoon draw like we did in London and put the Sharks in almost an invincible position because they had a great pontoon draw against the athletes in the middle. And again, this week with the current, with the Scorpions on the far end.
There's the major benefactor right there.
He was a benefactor. Do you think about that?
We went to sleep knowing that we had that swim point. So the swim contention, the pontoon draw, kids go to sleep stressed out about that if it's fucked. And we went to bed knowing we got this first swim points short shoot in the bag for the men and women. That's so true.
One, two, three, and the men out of the water.
We need to do something about the endurance discussion. We need to have at a broader level because it's too much on the line because an entire team is shut out. It's not one athlete. An entire team is shut out of contention with a poor pontoon draw, and it's just not fair racing. And it's shut out this year's racing with the Sharks. It's almost an invincible lead. London just shut us out on both the men's and women's front when we have the best, and I mean this with the utmost respect, I'll argue we have the best swimmers in the league in Scorpions, and we've had two shitty pontoon draws, and we haven't been able to showcase that power. And last week, Henry Schoeman swam the third fastest swim in the second swim because he was able to enter the water in the right spot.
Taylor Reed certainly had a good start. And he kind of put Chase in the bucket.
Well, you saw it. Both Taylor today, Taylor and Chase on far side. But the current, it's just unfair. So that's something we need to address at an administrative level and do something about it.
What about this? What if instead of – so you can do a draw for your racking positions in transition. That's fine. As teams, because I think it's good to have as teams because you've got the team box. But – what about if instead of a team's one, to not disadvantage the whole team, we draw numbers for every athlete, and then you can allocate. So we go, the number one spot selection goes to Warriors. The number one spot selection goes to, and you can go, all right, with my second pick on the, I will take Henry Schoeman and position number 4.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. It needs something where we can split them up. I know it looks nice for TV being as a group, but there's too much on the line, and with the swim points on the line and short shoots on the line, they affect the entire race. So a shitty pontoon draw takes us out of short shoot ability and swim points, and it doesn't happen in the bike or the run. We have that, but in the swim, it's imperative.
And that first out of the swim moment, you get that moto pull.
Yeah, well, there you go, exactly. And that leads to the moto pull.
Leads it.
We set up that Sharks race today. I said it, but...
It's another example, though, of... Normally it wouldn't matter that much, right? Because there's in longer racing, there's a chance to – it's a long race. Lots of things happen. People can come back together. But if you're going to create a race that is so fast and so hard that if your three Warriors come out at the front and all the – like if you're off the back 14 seconds in a triple mix stage, you're cooked. That's it.
You might be 90 seconds off the first round.
Yeah, and then you pay for that later. You're never in the race again.
Yeah, with the accumulated pursuit start at the end, it's just accumulative. Those losses are hard call.
You have a bad first swim. Your race. Five Scorpions were all at the back.
Saw that.
All last.
2 weeks in a row, I've sat there going, oh, just because of shitty pontoon draws. Yeah. And I do think, and the other advantage of it, and I think both Nick and I agree, if they were able to select, say, one at a time, I can put my swim paces up, and it's basically swimmer against swimmer. So from a commentary perspective where we sit, we can actually see who's...
So you draw straws, right, to pick the order.
We pick
the four managers. Yeah, and then you go, okay, you got pick number one. So you pick...
First spot.
Play person and slot, and then you pick person and slot, and then we just go round and round and round.
Round and round.
And we put our best swimmers in those best slots, no matter what.
It's a much fairer play.
Works itself out.
Because the way it works now stinks. It stinks. It's not right. And I never noticed it. Last year I wasn't sitting in that commentary position, not breathing.
Yeah.
Like I hold my breath for the last 2 weeks going, oh, I can't believe this, it's game over. And it's just all from shitty pontoon position.
Yeah, seeing the five women sharks get out of the water all together in London it was
obscene.
Whoa.
It set the entire day up and ended everyone else.
And they were blocking it. They were making sure that nobody else got near them. And they were playing tactically, of course, but
saw Max Stapley last week was light years in front of everyone in the swim, and this week, not so. Just not seeing the best. And what the viewer is missing out of is seeing the true talent of the best swimmers. And I think we're not showcasing that enough with that pontoon draw.
Because he had all the front swimmers, you need to enlist his support, because otherwise it looks like sour grapes to you. Go to the boss and say, we all agree this is what we should do, because karma will come back and get you.
No,
week could be good. Next week could be terrible.
We had a
trust
about
me,
it
Will.
Before. We
I agree.
Agree.
I agree that the pontoon draw is allocated to the best team who gets it, and that team typically has the best race. Yeah. So we want to spread that out. I think that I don't want to disadvantage any other team's good swimmers by just taking the current.
So agreed.
I think we're on the same page.
I think we are.
Yeah. All right, so that was 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, that was like 8 minutes. So
that was combined.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's okay. It's our podcast. We do whatever we want.
Where's the timer?
There's no timer. So we just keep going. It's just the podcast guy over there in the corner. He's like, can we just fucking wrap this up shit already? I want to have a beer. Like, don't worry. We have some so we can keep talking. Anyway, that wraps us up. We hope you enjoyed today's racing. It was absolute carnage out there. Everyone's friends now again. Don't worry if you were worried about any of that. But we look forward to Malibu in 3 weeks' time. Maybe we get this rule change before then. Yeah. Possible we'll mid-season rule change.
Nick and I will bring it up.
Yeah, because you guys have some cachet around here. I don't have nothing.
Well, it's there's a Sharks chase in Malibu, isn't there? There's a lot of teams that are pursuing a big lead from the Sharks. That's it. So we need to at least make it even though the next two races are beach start, so it's not so as imperative as a pontoon start. But, yeah, it's been tough to watch those last 2 weeks.
All right, it was a good chance to change something. We're always looking to change and innovate and grow, and any issues that are caused, obviously we're going to react as quickly as possible to that, and that's what we do here at Super League Triathlon. Stick on superleaguetriathlon.com for a ton of digital content over the next 3 weeks, and we will see you in Malibu. The race is on September 30. Cannot wait for that. Apparently your team is going to be the strongest one out there. This is what I'm hearing, Chase.
We've definitely, American team, we're trying to stack everything in our favor, and I think look at our women's, look at our men's roster. Yeah. It'll
because you're number one, right?
It'll speak for America. Itself.
Merca number America. One.
I mean, I do have tattoos of that all over my body, which I will never disclose to anybody.
Oh, do you really?
Nah, I can't tell.
Have you got like an eagle, like
I might
with an M16 or whatever?
I might have like a hand punching through my stomach, clutching
Merca.
America.
Merca. I believe you 100%. You got a Southern Cross tattoo somewhere, no doubt.
All over my back.
All right, that's enough. Otherwise, we're going to go into some areas we don't need to go into. We hope you enjoy the show. We'll see you next time.